Praise the Lord, amen. Good to be in church this morning. If you have your Bible this morning, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Book of Hebrews chapter 3 this morning, we want to begin verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7. If you have your spot, you can say amen. The Bible says these words in Hebrews 3 verse 7. It says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, you do always err in your heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this day. We come before you once again by the precious blood of Jesus. Oh God, I have no confidence in my flesh. I depend upon you, God, your spirit, your presence, God, to move amongst us. That even right now, God, you would soften the hardest of hearts. That even this day, we come against every opposition, every resistance, oh God. Let your word this morning, God, pierce our hearts, oh God. We may leave this morning different than how we walked in through the doors. And God, we are careful this morning to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I want to preach a sermon this morning I've entitled, "Wandering People." It's funny because we're just driving over to the church and your pastor, I didn't see it though. I actually couldn't see the where he was looking at, but he saw a bumper sticker on a car, and it says that wandering people aren't always lost. And it kind of brought a thought to my mind because it's actually the sermon I was going to preach this morning. And so I'm thinking this morning, you think of the children of Israel. You think, no doubt, 300 years, these people are in bondage. We know the story. There's deliverance. It's Moses, amen, a great pastor that would lead these people out of bondage. He would stand before Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. He would plead for God's people. And no doubt, finally, a frustrated, a tired, and even hardened heart Pharaoh finally makes the decision to let God's people go. To think that these people were in bondage, they were told when to wake up. They were told what they needed to do throughout the day, when they were going to sleep, when they were going to eat. Sounds like some prisons, come on. But yet, no doubt, these people finally, when God opened that door and through Pastor Moses releases these people, it's a beautiful picture. Not only of deliverance, but it's also a picture of salvation. When you and I gave our lives to Jesus, listen, we were bound under a taskmaster, and his name is the devil. You can be here this morning and say, well, no, not me. I was a good person. No, the Bible says we all have sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin, in other words, the payment of sin is death. And so no doubt by our decisions, we were headed down the wrong path. But thank God, amen, that Moses took instruction. When God told Moses to stand before Pharaoh, even though Moses disqualified or even tried to excuse himself at times, it would be by hearing God's voice, amen, and God directing this man is how it was all going to come to pass. I want to first look at the voice of God. Because in our text, the Bible says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice. As we live for God this morning, it's important that you and I hear the voice of God. That you're here this morning, hopefully your spiritual antennas are fully in tune. I remember growing up as a young boy back in the day, if we wanted our television to be clear, we had this antenna on top of the house. I'm going to remember that. They're made out of aluminum, and what we would do is have my older brother climb onto the roof. One would stand in the doorway, one of my sisters would be by the tube, and we were getting all this fuzzy reception. And I would yell to my brother, a little more to the left. And as long as he turned that antenna in the right direction, guess what? Things got clear. I thought about that. There's times that you and I have to climb to higher places in order to hear the voice of the living God. The problem was, as long as my brother moved around, guess what? It got fuzzy all over again. We would tell my brother, you know what? Just stay up there. We'll let you know what the TV program was about. But how many know this evening, it's the same when it comes to the kingdom of God. That as we serve Jesus, listen, confusion is not of God. How often do we run into people with no clue, no direction? Their lives are at a standstill. And oftentimes, amen, when they come into the house of God and God begins to restore and God begins to move upon their lives, amen, is where now they see things clearly. Now they're able to make decisions for the kingdom of God. Now they're able to allow a Moses to begin to lead them and to direct them. I walked into church at 25 years of age with no direction. I only heard and heeded to my own voice. And so I made decisions, amen, far from the things of God. But thank God, when I walked into the church house and I began to hear the preaching of the gospel, is where not only God began to speak, but I began to see things clearly. You see, the voice of God is very clear. For some people say, if I hear God's audible voice, then I will make some decisions. Listen, you're going to be waiting a long time, amen. I believe that in 28 years of being born again, and I'm going to explain this, I've heard God's audible voice probably about three times in my salvation. God clearly speak, amen, through the Holy Ghost. But how often do people say, when I finally see the clouds part, when finally angels come down or even a dream, then I will get serious. Then I will walk into church. Then I'll do this Christian thing. But how many know, amen, oftentimes God speaks in many ways. And that's how God begins to direct our lives. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, the Bible says, and after the earthquake of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the Bible says, this man would hear the still small voice of the living God. We know the story. He's the major prophet named Elisha. God is doing tremendous things. Thus far, he's being directed. He's being guided to do great exploits for the kingdom. Then there's this woman, a devilish of a woman that rises up by the name of Jezebel. She speaks some simple words because she hates the fact that Elisha, amen, is honoring the God of Israel. She's erected altars, destroyed anything that's godly to the people. But she speaks these words and says, by this day tomorrow, you're going to die. And this man heads for the hills, finds himself in the cave. Can you imagine? He's seen the miracles of God. But by these words that were brought to his attention, it grips him with fear. And instead of heeding to God's promises, oh, come on, somebody. Instead of listening to the voice of God, this man is on a run. And how often have I seen that, amen, that people listen more to what the devil or even people that are unsaved, come on somebody, have to say. You get saved and begin to be live for God, and then all of a sudden everybody's a Christian. Oh, come on, not here in Colorado, just in Chandler, right? Everybody comes out of the woodwork and they want to teach you how to be a man of God. They want to tell you what a Christian is supposed to be like. Listen, and if we're not careful, those are the voices that we listen to. And unfortunately, 9 times out of 10, it directs people out of the will of God and the house of God and the promises that God has in store for you and I. And so all of this is happening around the prophet Elisha. But the Bible says, then a still small voice, amen, a voice that would speak to Elijah saying, listen, there's hundreds of people in this city. Elisha, what are you doing? Have you not seen my promises? Do you not remember the miracles? There's still people in Colorado Springs that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Elijah, get up out of the cave, listen and heed to my voice, and continue in what I started in your life. And we know the story. That's exactly what Elijah does. And he continues, amen, simply because he heard and he was in tune with the voice of God. Can that be you this morning? Because how often we make decisions on a whim, never conversing with God. I've heard people say all the time, oh, the Lord spoke. Can I just tell you that when God speaks, it will be according to his word? He's never going to take you out of his will. Oh, come on, somebody. He's never going to direct you out, amen, of this new life in which he started in you. I remember as a young convert, there was this key couple in the church, and they had this beef with the pastor and his wife. And I remember they're just coming to me and Abigail. We're fresh, amen, off the streets. Oh, we're just concerned for you. And they begin to spew out all of this rebellion and hatred. And we made a stand. I said, listen, I don't see the pastors in that way. In fact, they've been a blessing. But listen, what was happening, the devil wanted me and Abigail to heed to their voice, amen, that would spin us out of the ministry and out of what God has started. And the reason I know, amen, that they weren't getting direction from God as they were leaving the church, because today they're divorced and fully backslidden and out of the will of God. And me and Abigail celebrate 28 years of being Christians, amen, in the house of God because we heeded to the voice of God. You see, we have to be in tune with God's voice. The problem is that there's so much under the sun today that tries to drown out the voice of God. I remember when, and call me a dinosaur, I remember when the ear pod thingies came out. And it was before Apple had, and there are these things you plug in your ears and there's no cords and I saw people walking the streets, and I'm thinking, man, these folks need some deliverance, man. They're speaking to someone, and there ain't nobody around. And someone finally told me, no, they have it plugged in their ear. I'm thinking, well, there's no cord. But yet they're listening to somebody on the other line. You know the problem with those things in your ear is that it drowns out everything else. I've seen people almost get hit by cars on the streets or the street lights. Why? Because they're listening to whatever's plugged into their ear. But how many know that if we're not careful, we can be so distracted that everything drowns out what God is trying to speak? Again, it's just me. I'm like your pastor. Your pastor's wife was sharing, I love to listen to worship music. But there's times that even the radio, my wife picks me up at the airport, and if you fly the way I fly, and sometimes it's like my ears are ringing when I get off of the airplane, sometimes even distorted at times, you know, the turbulation, it can get you, right? There's some rides that I've been for like the last 30 minutes and it's just shaking. And I'm coming out of the airport, going into my vehicle. My wife is often asking me, Frankie, are you okay? All I want is some peace. All I want is just to just kind of chill, enjoy the ride as we're driving back to the house. Sometimes I even turn off the radio. My wife says, I was listening to that. I say, Abigail, all I want is peace. Don't get me wrong. I love worship music. But to think that oftentimes that in the world there is so much, amen, that tries to rob us of that peace. And in crucial times of our walk with God, in crucial times of decision making, listen, decisions are going to draw you closer to God or further from God. And understand something, don't get me wrong. Not everything is a decision. You don't have to pray about if you're going to go to McDonald's. Just go. Oh, Lord, should I get chicken nuggets or should I get the McChicken? Some people over-spiritualize everything. Not everything's a spiritual decision. Yeah, the Bible says we ought to pray about everything. But I think chicken nuggets are an exception. Can you say amen? But there's so much that drowns out when God is trying to speak. I remember back in the days, I liked to cruise my rides. And I had 25-inch, who in the world needs 25-inch woofers? Woofers are speakers. And I remember my car, it would shake as I'm driving down the road, and the bass is bumping. I'm taking some of you way back, huh? I grew up in California. It was Hollywood Boulevard. It was Whittier Boulevard. Listen, and I'm bumping. My homies can be in the car. We have no clue what they're saying because I can't hear you. All I can hear is my music and my woofers. I even put that double-sided tape on everything in my vehicle so it doesn't rattle. Some of you know what I'm talking about. License plate is the first thing that rattles, and you put double side, whatever's. My son, when he was a teenager, let me remember the, I don't know if it's still out, the video game Call of Duty. I pastored a church, amen, next to the Marine Corps base in San Diego. So we always had a lot of young folks at our house. I remember my son was working graveyard, and so his sleeping schedule was pretty messed up. He would be awake when he should be sleeping. The problem was is that on his off days, he would be awake when we were sleeping. And so he's in his room, and he would play this game called Call of Duty. My goodness, it sounded like World War III in there. And my wife would be yelling, "Brandon, turn off the game. The neighbors are going to complain. Why don't you go to sleep?" Well, he couldn't go to sleep because his whole sleeping arrangement was jacked up because of his job. But oftentimes, whether it's video games or it's the plugins on your ears or it's the music in your vehicle, amen, somewhere we must allow God to speak. Somewhere, amen, in the midst of all of the noise, there needs to be a silence so that you and I can hear the voice of the living God this morning. Psalms 46:10, this is clear here. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." The psalmist here is saying, listen, sometimes, amen, we just have to sit down and meditate on the things of God, amen, and allow God to speak. Because in God speaking, that's where we're going to make some crucial and righteous decisions when it comes to the kingdom. Can you say amen? Again, as I mentioned, God speaks in many ways. I came into church for the first time 28 years ago. Never heard the gospel message. The only time I heard it is when my sister-in-law was saying, "Frankie, you need to get saved." I had no clue what salvation was. "Frankie, you need to go to church." I'll be honest, I thought of church, I thought of a building. I thought of religion. What is that going to do for me? I'm jacked up. Come on, somebody. I got some problems. I got some issues. I need some help, amen. But it was simply a witness. It was an invitation that was drawing me to the things of God. Then I walk into the church, and my pastor begins to preach. Amen. I'll be honest with you, man, I was upset. Because I'm thinking, how in the world does this dude know about me? It almost seemed like his sermon was exactly just what I needed to hear. And it was. Why? Because the voice of God, amen, was coming through clearly. And God was using my pastor. Oh, come on, somebody. God was using the man of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, amen. As I listened to the gospel preached, I knew that I was in the wrong with God. Didn't take rocket science. I knew I was a sinner. The life I was living wasn't pleasing to God. And guess what? if I was a sinner, then I was desperately in need of salvation. And so when the altar call came, I lifted up my hand. Why? Because I heard the voice of God say, Frankie, you need to get saved. You need to turn your life around. But it came through the preaching. There's times you hear God's voice through his word. How many are with me? Oftentimes we tell young converts when they ask questions, when you pray, you're talking to God. Amen? When you read the word of God, God speaks to you. And so there's many avenues, as I mentioned, that God's voice, amen, gets transmitted. But how many know when it came to the children of Israel, they had a tremendous man that was leading them. The problem was they didn't want to hear anything. Sometimes I think, some scholars believe, over 3 million people. Can you imagine? That's an impact team. I've led some impact teams. The Chandler Church, we have probably about 150 people on outreach on Saturday morning. And so they break up these outreaches into different teams of maybe 30, 40, and they pick leaders. And oftentimes I tell these leaders as they're leading an outreach, I said, listen, you need to be able to direct these folks. You need to be able to guide them in where they need to go. Give them instructions. Because if you go out there thinking that, hey, they're just going to understand, they should know better. No. The moment you turn around, guess what? You're going this way, and they're going that way. Amen? I've been on those impact teams. I gave you straight-up direction. But yet, can I ask a question? Where are we going? Oh, my goodness. It's like, where were you when I was saying it? Moses had 3 million people that he brought out of Egypt, the Hebrew children. Can you imagine? Thank God, amen, he eventually picked some leaders that were just like this man that would help him in directing God's people. I want to secondly look at going in circles. Because the Bible says that the children of Israel traveled through the desert for 40 years. Verse 8 and 9 of our text, the Bible says these words, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, and saw my works for 40 years. Now, some scholars believe that the travel from Egypt to the land of Canaan, that's where the promise was, right? Should have been a travel even with caravan. Caravan means that they had their livestock. They had their families, their uncles, their aunties, their nanas, their tatas. Everybody was following together. Should have took 2 weeks. My question is, why did it take 40 years? I mean, this sounds like Gilligan's Island, right? A two-hour tour, right? And then the dude and all of them are on the island because Gilligan. It's always Gilligan, right? Some of you had no clue what I'm talking about. It's a TV show back in the 70s and 80s. Little Buddy, right? You guys remember the skipper. Which should have took 2 weeks. Approximately 200 miles. I think I walked 200 miles with your pastor yesterday. My goodness, took me to the thingy of the gardens of the gods up there somewhere. The problem was is that they weren't lost, and that's kind of what that sticker your pastor read to me this morning was all about. They weren't lost. It wasn't like, you know, what's going on? Where did Moses go? What did he, I don't know. They were lost. They just weren't listening. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, if we just listen to instruction, we'll get from point A to point B. You know, I was telling my wife, and we're empty nesters. I have three kids. They're married. They're all serving God today. I got six grandbabies. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a whole other level of life. But I tell Abigail, I miss the minivan. As I pioneered two different churches, we've always had minivans. My kids were goofy kids. And when my son, he was the oldest, man, he would have his sisters laughing in the back of the van, just being goofy. And I remember us taking road trips. How many know about the road trip? What is the question oftentimes if you have children when you're on a road trip? Are we there yet? And at first you answer, no, it's almost, you know, and sometimes I told my little one, man, you're only 5 years old, man. You don't need to know. We'll get there when we get there. Or you hear the complaining and the whining in the back. I'm tired. I'll go to sleep. You can lay down in the back seat somewhere. Amen? What's the other one? I'm hungry. So some of you are parents. You can relate to what I'm saying. I'm thirsty. Oh, here's the classic. I have to go to the bathroom. And if you're not careful, what should have been a five-hour drive becomes a six-hour drive and a seven-hour drive. And I'm like your pastor. I'm on a tight schedule. My kids sometimes tell me, Dad, slow down. Not everything you need an itinerary for. They tell me, my goodness, we can hear your chunklas downstairs at 6 in the morning. Sleep in, they tell me at times. I said, no, we have to get to where we're going. That's just me. I believe the trip from Egypt to Canaan was just like that. Because what did God speak to the writer in Hebrews? Your fathers that tempted me. Your fathers that kicked against me. How often do you read in Scripture these people had the greatest of leadership, man? This is Moses. He would write five books of the New Testament, Old Testament, a diary that you and I can glean from, that we can look at examples at times not what to do, especially in wilderness times, amen. And one of the things is complaining. Oh, come on, amen. That's not me. I don't do that. You see, the children of Israel, they told Moses at times, they say, hey, God doesn't only speak to you, dude. God also speaks to us. And then what happened? The sands open up and sucks people in. They turn to each other. They're covered in leprosy because they're touching God's anointing, amen. And God says, no, I picked this guy for a reason. I set this man and appointed him in a place of office, amen, that he can lead you and direct you through the wildernesses of life. But if we're not careful, we complain and we murmur and we gossip. Come on, somebody. Can I be real this morning? And we wonder why we continue to go in circles. You ever been lost? That's where we prove that bumper sticker to be wrong. When you're lost, what do you do? This was before GPS. We used to have a thing called a map. A map was a large, big newspaper. You don't even know what a newspaper is, huh? You unfold it, and you find your place. Okay, we're here. This is where we need to get. And we would highlight everything, right? But when we're lost, especially if you're a man, you don't want to tell people you're lost. Especially if your wife is driving shotgun, right? Do you know where you're going? I know where I'm going. Who's driving? I'm driving. But, babes, I know where I'm going. But why is it we passed that same gas station 3 times? It's because the pride. If we men are real, some of you women too probably, that pride rises up and says, don't tell me where I need to go. Oh, come on, somebody. I'll let that marinate a little bit. Don't tell me what I need to do, preacher. Don't tell me that being in church is going to help me. Listen, can we just make the record clear? I hope you love being in church. This is where we get to practice. Amen? Because one day we're going to be in church forever. We all want to make heaven our home, right? So there's no complaint. Revival. Force. Do I have to be in 4 services, Pastor? No, you don't have to. But we hope that you are. So God can give you guidance on this trip. How many are with me? So maybe there's areas that you've been going in circles. And through the ministry, the evangelist, listen, we bring a different dynamic to the table. There's a different dynamic in revivals. Revivals, the word revival is to refreshing. It's where you get the word revive. Oh, come on, what does that mean? If you need to be revived, it means that something is dying. Can you say amen? And in meanings as such, amen, is where God once again begins to speak to you and I, where we get some clarity, especially when it comes to concerning the will of God for your life, so that we can arrive to our destination, amen, exactly how God has appointed it. You see, it was never for the people of Israel to walk. My wife is texting me. I got friends texting me all day yesterday. 118 degrees in the Phoenix Valley. Talk about hell. People oftentimes ask me when I travel, whatever part of the world I'm in, I say, well, sometimes in some of these third world countries, you can't give the example because they don't have an oven. I say, it's like opening your oven to see what your wife is baking. Now, put your face in that oven. That's what Phoenix feels like. Now, you can imagine in biblical times, the desert. Why in the world would you want to be? I ask myself sometimes that question. Why in the world would you want to be in the desert for 40? It doesn't have to be like that. But it's simply because you allow God to direct you. Can you say amen? Allow God to help you. Allow God again to give you instruction. As I mentioned, they weren't lost. But what it really was disobedience. That's why God says they tempted me, they tried me. You know, nothing has changed in 2,000, 6,000, 5,000 years. I've pastored people. You give them direction, and guess what they do? They do the opposite. Why is that? Bro, I'm just trying to help you, man. I'm just trying to save your bacon, amen? that you can continue and have the victory in your walk with God. Amen. I'm trying to get you from point A to point B. And we understand ultimately, amen, it's heaven one day. Is that okay? Can us preachers help get you into heaven? We can't force you to end up in heaven. Sometimes I wish I can kidnap folks, man, throw them in my trunk and bring them to church. But that can't happen, right? That's just me. But I can point you in the right direction. I can help guide you because that's what God has appointed us as preachers. And of course, God placed you with a tremendous pastor. You know what your pastor said? And I'm going to keep throwing him under the bus. You know what he said this morning as we're driving? This is after we saw the sticker, the bumper sticker. He says, you know what, man? I love this town. Well, you know, you're the pastor. I hope you do, right? Sounds funny, but I preach a lot in a lot of places. And I usually can tell as a preacher that from the airport to the hotel, how the services are going to be. Don't get me wrong. We have some good preachers in our fellowship. But sometimes in a 30-minute drive, I sometimes think, man, this guy needs some help. This guy needs a miracle. This guy, once again, needs to fall in love with the will of God and God's people. Amen? But that's not the case with your pastor. I love this city. It's because he's in the will of God. He's been chosen as Moses to deliver. Amen. And as Moses raises up leaders that would help him. I'm going to preach in that direction tonight, so please come. They got the victory. Weren't they singing Moses some songs? Amen. Why? Because their hearts were in the right place. They weren't hardened. The reason their hearts got hardened is because they complained. It's because they thought they were better. They thought, you know, I don't need to hear this. I can go to, it's true. You can end up in any church. But in reality, is it going to direct you to where you need to go? Today's hour, all these churches, they're sermonettes and motivational and rah-rah. The pastor, the priest, he should have some pom-poms. Get you all hype. But at the end of the day, it's not about getting all hyped up, amen. It's about allowing God, amen, decision after decision, amen, to get you to where you need to go, where your life is no longer wandering, no longer going in circles. How often I've seen people, and my thought has been, if you only would have listened. It's like in the church, we should just do like in the Midwest. I used to pastor out there too. They have revolving doors. Do you guys have a Portillo's out here? Do you? You ever seen the door they have? It was pretty fun. You just keep going in circles, right? Well, that's sometimes people's lives. It's like, bro, that's enough, man. Aren't you going to get dizzy? They just keep going and going. But you see that often? People that as preachers we've instructed and directed, and they say, I know better. And they leave, and guess what? Right back in a circle. And guess what? We love you again. Can you say amen? Can we try this again? Can we heed to God's voice? How many are with me? Sometimes it's in the area. People's lives, their finances, you give them instruction, you give them godly counsel out of the Word of God, and it's just the same mess over and over. And somewhere as God's people, listen, That's not the portion for us. Can you say amen? Don't just say, "Ah, well, I just got the short end of the stick, and that's the way life is. If you knew how I grew up." No, break the cycle. You've seen what your parents been through. Don't allow your life or your children's children. Listen, as I mentioned, all three of my kids, they are saved and married. Their first kiss was at the altar, amen, in a Jesus people wedding, far from the life that me and Abigail lived, in fornication, sex out of not being married. Come on, somebody. And somewhere we broke that cycle the day we gave our lives to Jesus. And so our kids can experience something different, not continue in the wilderness of life, one decision or bad decision after another. But they can have the victory, and they can have something that they can look forward to, a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm watching my grandkids raised in the house of God. If you would have told me at 25 years old that I was going to have grandkids, I never imagined in my wildest dreams even living past 20 in the streets of Los Angeles. But God has allowed me, oh, come on, somebody, to see. I was getting picked up at the airport. My daughter lives in Florida with her husband and my grandbabies. And I'm going to preach at their church for an entire week. And it's my grandson, Jackson. He's sitting in the car seat at the airport. He's excited. Why? Because his papa has come to town. And he says, "Papa, you're going to preach for us this week." I said, "Yes, mijo, I am." He says, "Papa, I can't wait to hear you preach." You see, these kids, as long as they stay the track and the course, they don't have to live the life of me and their nana. My kids didn't have to live the life of me and their mother, because we stopped going in circles. We allowed, amen, the voice of God. Can that be you this morning? Listen. Generations in the wilderness, 40 years is a long time. Somewhere you must get tired of it. Somewhere you need to say, "You know what, devil, you're not going to do this anymore." But we can speak it and we can believe it. But the Bible says faith without works is dead. In other words, we put it to pass by stepping up in faith and making the decision, amen, that one day our children and children's children can be blessed by. Hebrews 13, 17, the Bible says, "Obey those who have rule over you. Submit yourselves." Some of you think I'm cussing right now, huh? "Submit yourselves, for they keep watch over your souls as one who must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For this is unprofitable to you." Obey them. Have rule over you. Can I tell you this morning, it's not hard to serve God. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. Another translation says its end is destruction. So when people say, hey, "You don't got to tell me about this Christian thing. Do you know who my daddy is?" I have people say, "My auntie, she's a preacher." Well, what about you? You can pull out the resume. But are you heeding to God's voice? Are you allowing God to direct you? There's a kid in the Chandler Church, I won't say his name. He's about my son's age, and so he was very good friends. My son helped him so much when he was the door director there in Chandler, and then he got launched. He preaches. He actually pastors a church in Texas today, my son. But this kid, he's the same age as my son, and me and my wife reach out to him as much as we can. It seemed like he was gaining the victory. He got into one of the guys' homes in the Chandler Church. Four disciples opened the door for him to live with them. We've seen him in morning prayer. He was doing very good. And then all of a sudden, he falls off the mat. Then he comes into the church and he tells me, oh, I'm living in this program in a group home somewhere. For a time, he was telling me he was back on the streets. And every time he got a new job, I would get excited, but I would always make him accountable as if he was my son. I said, you need to keep this job. You need to work hard. You need to be a good worker. Listen, God can give you favor. God can promote you. Because isn't that what the will of God, amen, is moving forward? And the problem is that you talk to him 2 months later, oh, I quit that job. And what it really comes down to, he always tells me, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to start my own business. But when you really, really get down to the root, he doesn't want a boss. That's the generation today. And I get it. You know, there's so much things, amen, that, you know, you can put your, you know, all your energies to try to start these businesses. But at the end of the day, for this guy, he didn't want someone on top of him telling him what to do. It's the type of guy that probably has about 15 W-2 forms. It sounds funny, but that's a bad scene. I know a lot of people like that. The last time he got a job, I just seen him a couple of months back at Popeye's Chicken. I said, okay, good. Same thing as I've always told them, work hard. Keep that job. Get on your feet. Get a place to live. God can help you. You know, before I left, because I've been in two churches, I've been go-go the last couple of weeks. I see him in church. He came in with his backpack. And I know when he's not doing good because he always dresses down. When he's doing good, he comes in a shirt and tie. When he dresses down, it's just tennis shoes. And it's like, you know, he's moping around the church, you know. I say, hey, what's going on, man? I say, how's Popeye treating you? Oh, I don't work there no more. Circles. Circles. That's a lot of God's people, to be honest. It's not hard to serve God. It's not hard to do what's right. It's those just decisions that we make. I want to close with resting in Christ. Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Hebrews 4:1, the Bible says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being let us entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. You know that word rest in Hebrews? That word rest in the Greek speaks about a stability. That's if you really become a student of the Bible, it's just more than what you read. We have to get into the gold nuggets of whether it's Old Testament Hebrew, whether it's New Testament Greek, and it really highlights and brings out the scripture. It's like, for instance, the word love. We know it, what love means in the world, but when it comes to biblical love, there speaks about phileo love. It speaks about agape, and there's different avenues. Make sense? That word rest in this scripture speaks about a stability. And I begin to think about that because when we're going in circles, when we're not listening to God's voice, amen, and we go off course, there's really no stability, especially in your walk with God. That's the reason why the people remained in the wilderness for 40 years. They weren't stable. And along with not being stable, guess what? It's what we call, everything goes haywire, right? And you come to church and there's, you're frustrated. You're upset. Some even dazed and confused. Come on, somebody. It's like everything's coming at you at one point. Listen, in times as such, it brings us back to the scripture, amen. God would give you and I that rest. And that rest is simply a peace of mind. You know, this preacher, when I'm not doing what I need to do for God, you can ask my wife, I drive her nuts. Sometimes she tells me, Frankie, you just need to calm down. And everything in my mind is going 50 miles per hour. And it's those times that even this preacher needs to rest in God. And it comes down to that word, still. When God says, be still, that's where things, everything just seems to get right back in line and in tuned. And then there's clarity. I'm there with me. That's what it's talking about. Some of you this morning, that's what you need. I don't know your life. And again, your pastor did not tell me, hey, this is what I want you to preach. No. I was in Sunday school this morning, and he told me he was showing a video on memorial stones. I'm never in Sunday schools because I don't want to hear testimonies. I don't want to hear what's being taught, and then all of a sudden I get up there and I teach or preach the same thing. I want to hear from God. But I believe some of you this morning, there's a reason why there's no stability. Maybe, just maybe it's linked to you being in tune with God. There's a reason why you're going in circles. Somewhere, amen, the advice and the counsel, somewhere you probably need to take it to heart and say, you know what? Maybe this pastor knows better than I do. You see, stability bleeds out into all avenues of our lives. That's supposed to be the Christian life. Again, I'm not saying that we're in this bubble somewhere and nothing happens. That would be false doctrine. But I can say that as long as we are on planet Earth awaiting our Savior to return, we can get to where we need to go as God directs you and I. And we can stop being wandering people. Because unlike that sticker, that if you wander enough, you'll eventually be lost and have no clue, trying to reflect back, how in the world? You can imagine the kids. It's like, Dad, why? I thought this was a 200-mile trip, man. What happened? What happened? And I don't know, well, it's because we're not listening to I'm just taking my own route. Oh, I'm just taking my own. No, I don't think he said that, or they said that, or they spoke of it. But I believe there was a lot of questions. Why are we still walking past this same cactus when we ought to be further along in this trip and in our walk with God? I'm here with me. Wandering people, let's bow our heads. as our heads are bowed, eyes are closed in respect to the Lord. This morning you're here. As we close off the service, we never close off the service without giving you the invite to come to Jesus just the way you are. The first time at the age of 25, I heard the words that Jesus loved me. But he loved me so much that he wasn't willing for me to remain the same. Some of you know my testimony of life of gangs, drugs, alcohol, violence. I couldn't even fathom how a God can love me. But I remember in a setting just like this, lifting up my hand, I needed God. I didn't care who was around. In fact, I really didn't know anybody aside from my brother and his wife. I lifted up my hand. I said, God, I'm right here. I need your help. I ended up by myself because I was going in circles in sin. Same abuse. The same problems. And finally, my wife, she got fed up with this. She says, I'm tired of this. And it brought me to a place where all I can do is say, God, if you're real. And maybe that's you this morning. You say, you know what? I'm here. The life of sin that I'm living, I'm going in circles. And I'm tired of ending up in the same place, the same in relationships. After relationship decisions, after decisions. And I need you. And this morning you say, that's me. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? I need to get right with God. My heart is away from the Lord. Anybody at all, you say, that's me. Don't be embarrassed. We're not here to embarrass you. We just want to pray with you. You can have a fresh start, some fresh direction for your life. Anybody at all, you say, that's me. Here's my hand. I need Jesus this morning. I need Jesus. My decisions are not pleasing to God. And I need forgiveness of sin. Listen, you can walk away brand new. Lift up your hand. Anybody at all, you say, that's me. That's me, preacher. I need God this day. Maybe you're backslidden in this place. At one point, you served God. But your heart's away from God. Maybe your heart's cold. Maybe your heart's indifferent. And you say, you know what? I need to rededicate my life. I've gone off course. And God is trying to reel you back. Because he loves you. He wants you to spend eternity with him. And it's just a simple decision to say, you know what, God, I need to rededicate. I need to do this once again. Would you lift up your hand? Anybody at all, you say, that's me. I'm backslidden this morning. My heart's away from God. Would you pray for me? Lift it up this morning. You say, here am I. Pray for me, preacher. I need God. I don't want to leave the same way I walked in. Listen, don't be deceived. Religion will not get you to heaven. I don't believe there's just enough church to make heaven. No, it comes by simply surrendering totally unto Christ and allowing him to direct your footsteps. Anybody at all, lift up your hand. You say, that's me. Here's my hand. Pray for me. I don't want to leave the same way I came to church this morning. Here's my hand. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Church, this morning, let us not be wandering people. God puts people in authority. Leaders in our path that can direct us and help us, especially when it comes to this walk. I thank God when I finally say, God, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen for your voice. And if it means my pastor giving me godly counsel and directing me, then so be it. I had to drop the pride. I had to drop the attitude. Are we complaining, people? Because a lot has not changed. And we just make this a longer trip. This morning, maybe God has spoken to you. Maybe your decisions have been taking you in circles. You're here and you love God. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. You'll listen to his word. You'll heed to his voice. Let's not turn a 200-mile trip, spiritually speaking, into a 40-year ordeal. Let's learn from the children of Hebrew children and allow God to direct this. Why don't we stand to our feet? The altar's open. I encourage you, if God has spoken to you, come. Come find a place to pray. The altar is a meeting place between you and God. The altar is a place of sacrifice, commitments, and even decisions. So if you're at the altar, speak to God. You're not speaking with me. I'm just a man. Speak to God. In whatever direction Jesus has spoken to you, talk to him. And when you're done, don't go back to your seats. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to worship God. Cry out to Jesus this morning, church. Hallelujah. Oh, dala mama rebe.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go.
God, we need you this morning, God. We give you praise and glory. Oh, rebo shalama ma rebe bebe. Io lo robo bobo shandala ma rebe. Cry out to the Lord, church, this morning. Allow God to speak to you. Allow God to direct you. Io lo robo bobo shandala mama rebe.
Feel the love of yours.
You are worthy, worthy. Io lo robo bobo shandala mama mama.
Bring me back to you.
God in heaven. You are worthy, worthy, worthy. Let's stand where we're at. Let's sing out this song this morning.
You're all I have ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Sing it from the top of the song. Draw me close.
Close to you.
Oh, da la ba ba re be. morning, help me find the way.
And help me find a way. And bring me back to you.
Him this morning, church. Give him praise. God, we love you. Yo lo robo shandala mama rama mama mama. Yo lo robo bobo rama mama. Scripture says, harden not your heart. I had a young guy come to me not too long ago, and he said, Frankie, it feels like my heart is hardened. I said, you don't want to be there. He stepped away from ministries. The time, obviously, when people step away for anybody, that's a red flag. We could say, oh, well, they're just going through something. But when he told me that his heart was being hardened, I said, that's a bad place. Because we need a heart that's softened. I came in with a hardened heart. It was hardened by sin. And God began to soften, as the scripture says, he gave me a heart of flesh, a heart that can love people. Can you say amen? A heart that can have compassion, a heart that can feel. I pastored, like I said, some Marines. And listen, if you're a Marine in this place, because once a Marine, always a Marine. I understand there's a different base out here, a different a military office, yeah, branch, however you say it. I have no clue what he said, but okay. And oftentimes they would say, and they would make statements, and it's like they were hardened. It's like they were trained, and obviously, you know, I'm not going to get into everything. When they came into church, they were like robots. They were trained to do one thing. But when it came to loving people, no clue, man. They thought that being sensitive to the Spirit of God was a sissy word. And so their hearts were hardened. And then God had to put some sensitivity. It's not a sissy word. Jesus was sensitive to people. The religious people, they were hardened people. They didn't care about people. At the end of the day, man, I encourage you, as long as we stay in tune with God, I believe our heart is sensitive. And that begins to bleed out in all of avenues of your life in whatever capacity God uses you. When you make those decisions, God, listen. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. God delights in you, brother. How long have you been coming? I've met you before. Yeah? Have I? Okay. As soon as I shook your hand this morning, it's what God deposited. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God, and he delights. But as steps bring you, are supposed to bring you forward. Unless you're Michael Jackson, you're doing the moonwalk. Steps also can bring you backwards when we turn around and retreat. My encouragement to you, keep on pressing forward. Allow God to be God in your life. And it is going to come by making decisions. Me personally, I had no clue how to be a Christian. I just knew that every time I came to church, like I preached, God was dealing with me, God was speaking to me, and God was making me more sensitive to his voice. But as long as you make those right decisions, as I mentioned, they're going to draw you closer to God. That's what we want. And make that your prayer. God, I want to draw closer to you. And as you make that your prayer, you put it to action. I'm going forward, one decision at a time. And watch and see 2 weeks from now, 1 month from now, a year from now, if Jesus tarries, where you will be. But it's just simply by allowing God to continue to direct your footsteps because he delights in you. Amen? God bless you guys. Let's give God praise as your pastor comes.